Have you ever had those days that would be what I would call little erosion deals? You know, you get up in the morning, things go bad, the hot water's broke down, you know, the sink doesn't work, you're out of toothpaste, the car won't start, you have a flat tire on the way to work. And really, that doesn't set the stage to bode well with the people that you're going to come in contact with once you get to the workplace, to school, wherever it is that you may be going. And then what happens is you walk into the workplace and then this hasn't worked, this is falling apart. There are just so many things that you and I, when we get we're to the point of breaking. And what happens is often somebody will come to us and they'll say, "Man, what are you okay? Or why are you mad at me?" Or something to that nature. And then a lot of times what you'll say to them is, "Look, I'm not mad at you. I'm just frustrated." And we know what that term is. I think everybody that's within the sound of my voice today understands what it's like to be frustrated, at least at some point in time along your life. Some of you say, "Boy, that's every day for me." You get frustrated. The problem with frustration is I believe frustration to be a tool of the devil. I really, really do. Because it makes us say things that we shouldn't say. It makes us do things that we would not otherwise do. And the Bible really talks about that. So we're going to be looking at some passages today that are going to help us learn to overcome frustration through prayer. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of Philippians chapter 4. So grab your Bible, come on back, we'll continue our Bible study together. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that all is well with you and your family, and we are so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we take a look at God's Word. I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Philippians chapter 4, so if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn on over there with us. Yeah, we over the past several weeks, we have been pretty much doing a series that I titled Transforming Turmoil, and this is Finding Peace in the Storm. And we've been looking at different characteristics of things that each and every one of us go through most often on a daily basis. And we're going to continue that today as we want to look at overcoming frustration through prayer. Now, frustration, that's a common experience in our lives. You know, earlier when I introduced our time together, I gave you some examples. Some of you were sitting there saying, "Well, that was today, or that was yesterday, or that was last week." Hopefully, those moments of frustration are far and few between for you, but for a lot of folks, it's not. It's an everyday thing that happens to you. So frustration, it is a common experience in our lives, and it can arise specifically from things like unmet expectations. You know, boy, that is a big one. Most people get miffed over unfulfilled expectations. So maybe somebody had an expectation of you and you didn't do it. Maybe that's that workplace scenario that we were talking about just a moment ago. When you go in and you know, you ask your coworker, it's like, "Hey, you were supposed to do this. You know, how come you didn't do it?" Well, you had an expectation for them to do something that they did not do. So, you know, so often what happens is frustrations can arise out of unmet expectations. They can also arise out of difficult circumstances. You know, how many times have you been in the middle of a difficult circumstances and you felt like just throwing your hands up and walking away? And you're like, "Well, I give up." You're frustrated with what's going on, or you're frustrated with what's taking place, or even just the daily grind of life. Sometimes, man, when you're so busy, life can just grind you down. And most of you out there, yeah, I know I'm preaching to the choir. You deal with these kind of things each and every day of your life. And if you do, you're basically sitting there going, "I know exactly what you're talking about." And great frustration can come from those type things, you know, when we're involved in them. And what happens is we often feel overwhelmed. In those moments of frustration, we feel overwhelmed and we feel powerless. If we feel like there's just nothing that we can do. Now, the Word of God offers us a very powerful tool to combat these feelings when they start to happen in our lives. And that powerful tool is prayer. And I know some of y'all were sitting there thinking, "Well, gosh, I thought he was going to give us you know, 4 points that are going to help us get through this." Well, I'm giving you the one main point. And I know that most people sit back and say, "Well, prayer is the answer for everything." And if you said that, you would be correct. Prayer really is the answer for everything. But prayer can change our hearts. Prayer can change our attitude, and prayer can also change those circumstances that frustrate us. So today, we want to explore how turning to prayer can help us to overcome the frustration that happens in our lives. Not only do we want to see how prayer can help us with that, we also want us to look at how prayer can bring clarity to situations. Prayer can bring peace to those situations of frustration, and it also can give us a renewed perspective. I like that word, perspective. You know, what is your perspective? In other words, how do you view the circumstances and situations in your life? I've often liked the old adage, as easy and as cliche as it is, it's one of those circumstances where people say, well, you're either a glass half full kind of person or you're a glass half empty type person. The difference between those two is your perspective. Now, notice what I said just a moment ago. I said prayer can help us to have a different perspective. So let's look at what the Bible says about that today. I mentioned a moment ago that our text is going to be Philippians chapter 4. We're specifically going to look today at verses 6 and 7. So if you have your Bible, follow along as we read. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6, says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Would you pray with me? Father, as we take these times and moments to come to you, Lord, we're thankful that we can gather around your word. Lord, I'm also thankful for the fact that your word is truly very clear to us. Your word gives us the answers to all the questions that we could ever have. Now, Lord, I realize that frustration is a tool of the devil. I realize, Father, that frustration is something that each and every one of us deal with very often on a daily basis. And Father, sometimes that frustration leads us down a path that draws us away from you or that pushes us away from you. So Lord, today, especially those who are dealing with frustration right now and those who will deal with frustration in the future, I pray that you would speak to their hearts through your word. Lord, I pray you would use me as your messenger, that you and you alone truly would be the one that is high and lifted up. Lord, may these scriptures come to life in our hearts. I love, Lord, when we say the pledge to the Bible, a part of it says, "I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against you." Lord, help us to take these words today, apply them into our hearts, and etch them into our hearts, that when needed, the Holy Spirit will truly bring them to life for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray for those today who are frustrated. I pray that you will deliver them as they turn the circumstances and situations over to you. And Lord, I pray that you will give them a day of great peace and comfort. And Lord, change their perspective on the things that frustrate them the most. Lord, bless our time that we will spend here together today as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, so as we take a look at our passage, one of the things we have to understand is that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians while he was in prison. If there was ever somebody who had a right to be frustrated, wouldn't you think it would be the Apostle Paul? I mean, he might have even been frustrated with Jesus. He might have been sitting back saying, "I've been doing exactly what you asked me to do. I've been going out, I've been preaching the word, and all it's done is brought me heartache. Not only has it brought me heartache, I find myself sitting in prison." There are 10,000 things that he could have said and given him a very poor perspective of the situation, but he didn't do that. So remember, he wrote this while he was in prison and despite his circumstances. Now, if you've been around me or Central Baptist Church for any amount of time over the past more than 5 years, okay, you have heard me preach about the fact that we cannot allow circumstantial faith to be paramount in our lives. What is circumstantial faith? Circumstantial faith means that how we feel about the Lord ebbs and flows with our ever-changing circumstances. Folks, regardless of how the circumstances may be in your life, whether they're good or bad, you know, our view and our joy in the Lord should never, ever change. Never. So despite Paul's circumstances, he encourages the believers to rejoice and to remain steadfast in the midst of their faith. Now, could you imagine that? You look at a guy like Paul as he's sitting in prison. Remember, man, when they went to prison back then, it's not like it was today. They were beaten. Man, they would be beaten with a cat of nine tails. They would essentially be abused. They would be locked up in leg irons and shackles. They would be kept in a dark, damp place. I mean, it wasn't. They didn't quite have the civil rights that you and I think about today. So even in the middle of that, you see a guy like Paul sitting in the middle of a prison, and all of a sudden he is telling you, somebody who is free, and remember this letter was to the church, he is saying, rejoice and stay steadfast and true in your faith. And many people would say, might say, how can you rejoice while you're sitting in the middle of a prison cell? You know the reason why? Because Paul did not have circumstantial faith. His faith was truly in God. His faith was in the Christ who saves, and ours should be as well. You see, the church in Philippi, which is where this letter went, faced a lot of external pressures as well as internal conflicts. You know, you think your church had problems. Oftentimes people will sit back and say, well, I wish our church was like the early church. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I mean, that could be a really good thing. But you got to realize too, folks, that the folks in the early church also faced issues. They faced outside issues. They faced false gods. They faced persecution. But they also faced internal conflicts as well, with differences in how they viewed certain things. So the church at Philippi was facing these external pressures as well as internal conflicts, which likely led to feelings of frustration and anxiety among its members. Now, I know that if you have actually been in a church and served in a church, there have been some things that have happened that have frustrated you. Listen, if you are part of Central Baptist Church, there are probably some things that I have done in a leadership role that have frustrated you. Now, I could probably sit here and start calling them off, but that's not what this venue or purpose is all about. But I know that you've probably been frustrated. Now, Paul, his exhortation to prayer was not just a suggestion. He just didn't say, well, I think this is a good idea. It wasn't just an escape. Too often people would sit back and say, well, you know, that's just a tough thing you've got going on. We just need to pray about it. Sometimes we'll use that as a catch-all scapegoat, but that is not what Paul was saying to the church at Philippi. You know, it was a lifetime to help them navigate their challenges and find peace among the turmoil that was taking place. So he is exhorting them to pray as a command, not a suggestion. And this would be something that would help them to navigate those challenges that they were going to, as well as find peace in the midst of the turmoil. See, sometimes we're really good about taking things to the Lord in prayer, but we're not so good when it comes to finding peace, knowing that God is going to handle the circumstance or the situation. Too often we sit back, we still have the anxiety about us, even though we have taken it to the Lord in prayer. Okay, so in this passage today, that's our text, Paul begins with a very clear command. And the command is, be anxious for nothing. Some translations may say, don't take thought about these things. Now, this is clear and to the point. Be anxious for nothing. That also means don't worry about anything. Oh boy, now the preacher's getting personal now. Yeah, he's going to sit back and tell me that worry is a sin, and it is. He's going to sit back and say, I shouldn't worry. You shouldn't. The preacher's going to tell me that fear is the opposite of faith, and it is. So we know all these things. We've internalized all these things, but we need to be able to apply them to our lives. So Paul's command is, be anxious for nothing. He acknowledges that anxiety and frustration are natural responses to life's challenges. He knows that. I know that. I know that there are some frustrations when life challenges you along the way. That's normal. That's normal for everyone. But he calls us to a higher standard, not to be like everyone else. Listen, as believers, the Lord called us to be separate from them, to be not necessarily segregated to where you're not interacting with people, but he says there's a different standard for a Christian than there is for somebody who is a non-believer. God has a standard for us, and too many times we have lowered the standard. It is you and I who have lowered the bar for what it means to be a Christian. Folks, I want to tell you, that's very frustrating. Man may have lowered the bar, but God never did. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when life's challenges come at you, the standard should still be the same. So instead of succumbing to worry, instead of giving over to worrying about all these things, we're to bring everything to God through prayer and supplication. Now, I didn't just say that we're to bring the big things to God in prayer. I can't tell you how many times through my ministry somebody has said, well, you know what, that was just a little thing. I didn't want to carry that to the Lord. In everything, this is what the scripture tells us, everything, your relationships, your financial position, your job, your circumstances, your house that's falling apart, your car that you're praying doesn't break down, you know, the tires that you need changed on the vehicle, all these things. God says, I want you to bring them all to me. If they are a concern or a worry to you, don't worry, bring them to me, all right? So we're to bring everything to God through prayer, and it says, and supplication. Now, let me talk about what that means, because a lot of times people sit back and say, okay, well, prayer and supplication, what does that mean? The term supplication indicates a very deep and earnest request. Not just a flippant thing, a request with all of your heart. Now, you know what that means. There have been times when you've gone and asked a simple question to somebody, but there have been times when you have gone almost pleading with them in your request or whatever else it was. So the term supplication indicates that very deep, earnest request. And that's what the Lord is saying. Bring them to me. Now, Paul emphasizes the importance of doing this with thanksgiving. Boy, sometimes we can be really, really good at prayer, but we're not real good when it comes down to the thanksgiving part. Let me give you a little litmus test real quick. How many things have you prayed for and God has answered your prayer, but you took the time to go back and to say, thank you, Lord. Lord, here was the situation I was praying for. Maybe it's been something that you've prayed for months, years, decades, and God answered your prayer in an incredible way. Did you spend as much time going back thanking him as you did requesting from him? Have you ever really just had a time when you've gone to the Lord in prayer just to give thanks to him or just to have conversation? I really hope that you have. But Paul is emphasizing the importance of carrying everything to the Lord with supplication, deep, you know, inner pleading, and doing so with thanksgiving, reminding us that gratitude, you hear me? Gratitude shifts our focus from our problems to God's faithfulness. That's one of the key things that you will hear today. To me, I think that is the secret to it all, particularly out of this particular passage. So I want to say it one more time, okay? When we take everything to the Lord earnestly, we do so with thanksgiving, we are reminded that gratitude, with thanksgiving, reminds us that gratitude shifts our focus from our problems to God's faithfulness. How incredible is that? Think about it for a moment. Now, some of us have had the opportunity to live that. Some of us, we've lived it. We've been biblically successful, and then we've turned around and we've kind of gone back to our old ways. And we know that, you know, so the Holy Spirit is telling us that, and Holy Spirit's even reminding you. Remember, you've been here before. You trusted me before. Was I faithful then? I'll be faithful now, okay? See, the result of this prayerful approach, it's pretty profound, okay? See, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, this is what we're getting out of our text, will guard our hearts and minds. And boy, sometimes we really need our hearts and minds guarded, don't we? Because frustration can make us say, think, and do things that don't please Jesus. You have gone off on a rant in the midst of a frustration where you've had to go back and apologize. You have said some things that you didn't mean. Well, maybe you've said some things that you did mean that you shouldn't have said because of the way they made other people feel or react, okay? So we can understand the deceptiveness or the destruction that this particular situation has in our lives. When we're frustrated, that's why I said earlier in this Bible study, it's a tool of the devil, okay? So the peace that surpasses all understanding that's going to guard our hearts and minds, this peace is not just temporary relief. It is a divine assurance that protects each and every one of us from the chaos of frustration. It is something that we have on a daily basis at our disposal. The question is, are we utilizing the tools that God is giving us to deal with frustration? Okay? So theologically, this passage illustrates the relationship between prayer and the sovereignty of God. Remember how we define sovereignty? Is that God can do whatever he wants, to whomever he wants, anytime he wants, and be justified in doing it. Plain and simple. So this passage illustrates the relationship between prayer and the sovereignty of God. Now, when we pray, we acknowledge that God is in control and that he cares for our concerns. Prayer is it's an act of faith. You know, it's trusting that God hears us, and it's trusting that he will respond according to his will. See, the peace that follows prayer is a testament to God's character. And I always like to say that because, you know what, when we think about all the characteristics of God that create his character, this is in his character. He is a God of peace who desires to bring calm to the midst of our chaotic lives. And I know some of y'all are sitting back going, well, boy, I've got a chaotic life. Well, God wants to get right in there in the middle of it and bring peace to you. See, this peace is not dependent upon our circumstances. We talked about that a minute ago. This is not circumstantial faith. The peace that God provides is not dependent upon what is going on around us, but it is rooted in our relationship with Christ, who is our ultimate source of hope and strength. Do you get that now? Are you understanding why circumstantial faith is such a bad thing? Do you understand now how prayer is the as the Bible says, the balm of Gilead, the solution to your problem, the thing that will help you in the midst of frustration? So as we know that, we've learned a few things today, you know, or maybe not. Maybe we've just reminded you of a few things today. So the question is, how can we apply this particular passage and what we've learned to our lives today? Let me give you a couple of things. First of all, we must cultivate a habit of prayer. For a lot of folks, you said, okay, that's as far as I need to go right now because I really need to work on this. And here's the thing. Most of you have tried that over and over again in the past, and you haven't been successful. Listen, you need to cultivate a habit of prayer. When frustration arises, let it be a prompt to pray rather than to complain or to worry about what's going on. Set aside some specific times for prayer, and then consider keeping maybe a prayer journal to record your thoughts and your requests. We always do better when we write things down. Now, I know some of you out there are saying, well, I'm just not a journaler. Okay, that's cool. You don't have to be a journaler, but it's great just to write prayer requests down. And another thing I like to do is I like to make another column because I like to address the prayers that have been answered. You know, this is what I've been praying. This is when I was praying it. This is when God answered that prayer. And sometimes if you leave a little room, you can put how he answered it, because most times it's not going to be the way you thought he was going to answer that prayer. Okay? So the first thing, you got to cultivate a habit of prayer. The second thing we need to do is we need to practice gratitude. See, before presenting your request to God, take time to thank him for his past provisions in your life, for his past blessing in your life. And what happens is when we do this, shifts our focus to being able to praise him. It's a shift in focus that can transform our perspective. Remember what perspective is. We talked about it a minute ago. It's how you view it. It can make our glass half full rather than half empty. That's what prayer can do. Have you ever thought about that? It's as simple as that. What can take your glass half empty attitude and make it a glass half full attitude? Thanksgiving and gratitude to the Father. Think about that for a moment. Okay, third and finally today, we need to seek community. And a lot of times you'll hear me call church community. And here's why. There's only one church. The body of believers is a church. We might have different names for our churches, but plain and simple, it is a community of believers. So you and I need to seek community. We need to seek a community of believers. Share your frustrations with trusted friends or family who are believers who can pray with you, who understand the power and the value of prayer. Remember, folks, prayer is not just an individual act. You know, we can intercede for other folks as well, but it's a communal experience that strengthens our faith together. And I hope and trust and pray that, there are some things that you have learned out of these particular passages today that can help you deal with the frustrations as they arise in your life. You see, folks, frustration, that's an inevitable part of life, plain and simple. And like I say, I know many of you are sitting there going, yeah, no doubt. So knowing that it's an inevitable part of life, we have to realize that it does not have to control us, and it should not control us. We should be controlled by the Spirit. Now, through prayer, when those frustrations happen, through prayer, we can bring our anxieties to God and receive His peace in return. And boy, His peace is always the best peace. You know, as we develop a consistent prayer life, one of the points that we mentioned, we will find clarity in our circumstances. We will find peace in our hearts, and we will find a renewed perspective on our challenges. You know, how many times has somebody talked you down that was a good spiritual friend or family member, and, you know, after you have just gone crazy telling them about your frustrations and you allowed your frustrations to take over, they talked you down, they prayed you down, and as you turned it over to the Lord, all of a sudden your perspective began to change. Your glass became half full rather than half empty. Folks, let's commit to turning to God in prayer and trusting that He will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Would you do that with me? That sounds great. Listen, let me close you in a word of prayer, then I'll tell you about what we're going to be looking at as we head into next week. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for the gift of prayer. Lord, too many times we take that for granted, but thank you, Lord, that the veil was rent when Jesus gave up the ghost, giving us access to you through him. So, Lord, I pray that you will help us to turn to you in our moments of frustration and in our moments of anxiety. Lord, teach us to seek your peace and to trust in your perfect plan for our lives. Lord, may our hearts and minds be guarded by your presence, and may we experience the clarity and the hope that comes from being in communion with you. And Lord, I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today. I pray that you've learned something new, and I pray that your frustrations will be minimal because you've learned. Take them to the Father. Allow Him to change your perspective along the way. Let me tell you what we're going to be looking at, what your Bible reading for this week is. Remember, we are going to continue next week with our Wednesday series of Transforming Turmoil, Finding Peace in the Storm. So this week, I want you to spend some time in the book of 1 Thessalonians, Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And next week, we're going to look at replacing bitterness with gratitude. Oh boy, here's another one of those. But replacing bitterness with gratitude out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to look at the practice of gratitude as a powerful antidote for bitterness. And we're also going to explore how focusing on blessings can shift our mindset and bring us joy. So I hope and trust and pray that you'll be read up on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and that you will join us at the same time next week as we gather around the word of the Lord. Listen, as always, I want to invite you. I want to give you my personal invitation to join us on Sunday mornings at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. Our service times start at 11:45. We also have other opportunities for discipleship through men's small groups, women's small groups. We have Awana for the kids, and various other ways that you can be discipled and grow in your faith. And we would certainly love to have you come and join us. As always, if you want any more information, feel free to go to our website. It's listed there on the screen throughout the Bible study. And if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call, shoot us an email. We would love to have that opportunity to hear from you. So God bless you. I pray that you have a great week, and I'd love to see you this coming Sunday. God bless. ¶¶